Your train fills this temple. You're worthy of our praise. You're extraordinary. There's none like you. So with our hands lifted up, we say, hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We've made it through another week and we're so happy. Oh God, I bless your name. Hallelujah. Anointing destroys every yoke and removes every burden. He is the lifter of our head. He is our exceeding great reward. He is our God. Lord, we place our confidence in you. And it frees us to worship you. It frees us to bask in your presence. Because we don't worry, we're free to praise you. Because we know who you are. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody, just worship him. Come on, out of the abundance of your heart, come on. Come on, speak to God this morning. Come on, let's place our focus on him. Almighty God, there's none greater than you, Lord. Be magnified. Hallelujah, God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the atmosphere that you create. When your presence invades a room, thank you, Lord, for hearts that are turned toward heaven, minds that are focused on you. I pray that in this atmosphere that you would heal everything broken. And that you would relieve the burden down from their burdens. In the name of Jesus. It's in this type of atmosphere that you move, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that someone feels the tangible presence of God. And as we lift our hands, Lord God, whatever it is that we need, I pray that you will supply it in this moment. Thank you, God, for your presence. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your love. Perfect love shown toward an imperfect people. Thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, that our hearts are ready to receive the word of God. And I pray now, God, that you would be glorified in the preaching of your word, and that we would be edified, souls saved, lives changed, believers encouraged. I thank you, Lord God, for affirmation today. For everyone who feels that lack of affirmation, that lack of being sure as to whether or not you really love them, I thank you, God, that after this word today, that there would be no doubt. I pray that this sermon will give us the ability to walk with a confidence that we've never walked with before, so that we might be who you've called us to be. Now, Father, I pray that you would be glorified, and that you would speak through me, and that we would all hear your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you hug somebody and tell them God loves you for sure? Don't worry about it. Don't doubt it. Don't trip. You got that. You got his love. John 15:13, the King James Version. John 15:13 in the King James Version says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's all it says, but it says so much. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Father, I thank you for this word. I pray, Lord God, that we would receive it today. Thank you for your anointing that goes with it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak to you from the topic, the greatest love of all. I passed by a sign today and I saw that on the sign. I didn't realize it was there. Thank God for Charlotte. The greatest love of all. The scripture says that there's not a greater love that can be demonstrated other than the type of love that would motivate a man to lay down his life for his friends. Not for a man to just happen to lose his life, but for a man to make a conscious decision to lay down his life for his friends. Jesus goes on later in the text to say, you're my friends if you do what I command you to do. So everybody in here who is following after the commands of Christ, he's saying to you, you're my friends. And then he goes on and he says, this is the commandment I give to you, that you love ye one another. This is the command that he gives to us as believers, is that we love each other. Shouldn't be a problem with anybody in the household of faith feeling love, experiencing love, because the command that has been given to us is to love ye one another. And it's not based on how much somebody is loving you or what they do for you. Your mandate, your calling, the anointing on your life is for you to love somebody else. Somebody say amen. What a wonderful world this would be if everybody spent time loving one another instead of talking about one another. Let the church say, Amen. So he says, greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And with Valentine's Day being a few days removed and getting flowers and candy and going out to nice places and getting dressed up and looking good and eating in fine restaurants and spending all kinds of money to prove our love, he says that there's no love demonstration that compares to the demonstration that a person would lay down their life for the ones that they love. Somebody say amen. Amen. Jesus is saying to the disciples and to us, he says, I love you so much that I have laid down my life, that I have given myself for you, that I have taken on your sins, that there has been a transfer, that you who knew no righteousness have now become righteous, and I who knew no sin had now become sin. And because of the transfer that was in the heart of God towards the people of God, we are now all saved. Everybody who's glad to be saved ought to say amen. Amen. Now, I want you to just get with me for just a few moments as we examine the love of Christ towards the people of God. You know, people enter in the love all kinds of different ways. People enter into love all kinds of different ways. Sometimes they enter in based on what they figure they can get out of it. Sometimes you fall in love with somebody, you don't really love them at first, you just kind of like them because of what they do for you. But then after a while, you fall in love with what they do for you so much until they start seeming just a little bit better every time they do something for you. Can I get a witness in here? Sometimes we enter into love based on somebody's looks. And when the looks begin to diminish, that love begins to diminish. You see, when you go into love wrong, love's going to end up wrong. I said, when you go into love wrong, love's going to end up wrong. If you loving somebody because of what they can do for you, or because of what the potential is for them to bless you, or because of how good they look, or because they look like they might someday climb the corporate ladder and get us the status that we attain to, that love is going to go bad at some point or another. Let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus went into love knowing what it would cost him. Let me tell you, love costs something. When you love somebody, it is going to cost you something. Love is not free. You're going to have to give up some of what you want. You're going to have to give up some of your desires. You're going to have to give up some of your ways in order to be in love. Please, let's understand. Jesus loved knowing what it would cost. He loved knowing that it would cost his life. He loved knowing that he would have to go to the rugged cross. He loved knowing that he would have to be whipped with a cat of nine tails. He loved knowing that he was going to be mocked and spat upon and have a crown of thorns put on his head. He did not go into love not knowing what it would cost him. Love has a price. And he paid the price to love us. He paid the price to love us. Secondly, he went into love with his eyes wide open. He went into love knowing that it was going to end at the cross. Can you imagine being 12 years old in the temple with those doctors and lawyers who are amazed at how much you know about the law, sitting there knowing that one day you're going to have to go to the cross. Playing with your friends. Playing kickball in the park. And then for a moment it hits you that when I turn 33 years old, they're going to put me on a cross to redeem a people who will sometimes treat me like I didn't do nothing for them. That will value a Valentine more than the cross of Calvary. Who will walk around with their heads hung down, worried about the situations and the circumstances, forgetting that I love them too much to let life overtake them. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, God loves you too much to let life overtake you. He knew where it would end. For many of us, we walk into love with our eyes closed. Oh, yeah.
We walk in love like we kiss. Don't y'all holy people act like you don't kiss. Because if you didn't kiss, where them little holy people come from? And let the church say.
Amen.
Oh, we're loosened up now. We go into love hoping it'll lead to a certain place. But not really knowing where it's going. He goes into love absolutely knowing I'm going to have to die for these folk.
Yes, sir.
Now, sometimes when we're feeling real good, us men, we'll look at our wife and we'll say, I'll die for you. But we hope we don't have to. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Oh, we not. Oh, we mean it. We mean it. But we sure hope it doesn't have to come down to it. What do you have to say about a love that was born to die for you? That's his whole intention, to die to save you. Hands should be going up all over the building. He came here to die,
yes, sir,
for the ones he loved. He didn't come into this blind. He came with his eyes wide open. He went into love knowing exactly what it was going to cost him to love us. Thank you, Jesus. The thing that's even more awesome than that is that he went into love knowing who he was loving. Now, let's examine this for a moment. You go into love with the person that they present. Because when they want you to fall in love with them, they could be whoever you want them to be. That's why you better be careful about how much you want. Let me say it this way. Don't tell everything up front. Because when you tell a man or a woman what it is you're looking for, they can adapt themselves to become what you're looking for, and then you think you're getting what you were looking for, and after they get you, you done got God, and you don't have what you were looking for. So some of us are on Facebook putting the perfect man or the perfect woman, and some scheming joker is reading that list and saying, now I know what you want. Now all I have to do is act.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Until I get you. Now when I got you, I can be myself. But Jesus went into love knowing who he was getting. You couldn't hide nothing from him. You couldn't act good enough because he knew your heart. Somebody say he knew what he was getting. So the attitude that we have, that temper problem, that money problem, that cussing problem, And he said, even though I know you, I still love you.
You know how people say, if I would have known that he was like this, or if I would have known that she was like that, I wouldn't have ever married them. God said, I knew everything there was to know about you. I knew your history. I knew the stuff you swept under the carpet. I knew the stuff. I know about every skeleton in your closet. And I'm still saying, come, let us reason together. Come and let me talk to you. And I knew that a few years into our relationship, I knew you would fall. I knew that you'd be tempted to walk away from me. And I knew that I was going to have to pour my love out on you to get you to stay home. I knew that this trial was going to bring you to the point where you were doubting whether or not I loved you or not. And when you're going to let some things that the devil did in your life make you think that I don't love you and I don't care for you and that my blessing is not on your life. I knew that when I asked you to come to me. I knew that when I called you down that aisle. I knew that when you accepted that call that was on your life. I knew who you were when you said I'll preach for you. I knew you were going to mess up. I knew you weren't going to want to preach no more. I knew you were going to walk away, but I still called you. I still chose you. You're still mine. My hand is still on you. My heart is still for you. You are the apple of my eye because I loved you like you were. You didn't trick me. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. I could preach that all day because we all know us. In church, y'all don't know us. Y'all know the church us. I know there shouldn't be a difference. I know there shouldn't be a difference. But the reality is there's a home. But somebody touch your neighbor and say, it ain't going to always be that way, though. Ain't going to be but one me in a minute. Who you see at church is going to be who I am at the grocery store, who I am at work, who I am at the house. By the grace of God, you ain't going to see but one. But you don't know our history. You don't know the things we did before we got here. And you don't need to know. Don't you be walking up on people, give me your testimony. So you can be a voyeur into their past. See, people respond differently to who we were than God does. I met so many people who are saying, I'm looking for this person, I want to get married, I'm looking, but they have all these criteria. They have so many criteria, it cancels everybody out. Sometimes when they run the line, the list down to me, I'm saying, well, who in the world is he? He don't exist. Baby, he ain't here. You're going to be single for a long time. That guy don't exist. We some flawed individuals. Us brothers, we love y'all, but we got a little bit of baggage. And y'all sisters too. Say amen. All right, they ain't gonna just put it on the brother. So, but here's the thing about Jesus. Jesus said, you come to me just like you are. And I'm gonna put something on you called my spirit. And it's gonna transform you into who I want you to be. And when we're done with this thing, I'm going to be able to present you to my Father. A bride without spot or blemish. You're going to be perfect when you get up under this blood. He knew exactly who he was loving. And see, others have indeed died for love.
They have. Other people have died for love. But none like this. See, we watch these TV shows and these movies where this star, this handsome star with muscles, and you tell the woman, stay right here. But she don't stay. She don't ever stay. I know when he tell her stay, she getting up. She get up and she going behind him like she could help. And now she hanging off a ledge by a tree. And she screaming, help! Y'all seen the movie. I mean, if you've seen one, you've seen all of them. And she hanging there vicariously on a limb. And now Dash, good looking, that's his name, has got to come and risk his life to save her. But Dash don't want to die. Dash is willing only to risk his life. If he can help it, Elder Smith, Dash is going to walk into the sunset with the girl he just saved. But he's not going to let her walk away and he plummet to his death if he can help it. We have these romantic ideas. But the most romantic thing I ever seen is Jesus dying for his bride. Can we talk about it for just a minute? Five things. For those who have died for the ones they love, their lives were equal to the ones they were given for. For those who died for the ones they loved, their lives were equal to the ones they were given for, which means they were on the same level. One person was not better than the other person. One person was not superior to the other person. Although I know we on earth, we gauge people based on where they come from, their lineages, you know what I'm saying, their denominations, how much money they have, what side of the track they come from, where they grew up at. Come on, say amen. But I just need some people to know that you could grow up in Hitch Village or the Landings and end up with the same kind of people. So when God looks at people, because God is able to see the heart and God is able to see deeper than the things that we're able to discern, God knows that everybody on earth is on the same level. That's why Paul says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, because he wanted the playing field to be level. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so we see that every person who has died for another person has been of equal value to the person that they gave their life for. But Christ is God becoming man, the king becoming a servant, and the one who knew no sin becoming sin. Somebody say amen. Amen. There has never been and never will be another person of the character and the quality of Jesus Christ. It is God becoming man, and he is of much greater value than who he died for. In fact, because he died, he raised the value of who he died for. Philippians 2, 6 through 8 says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Somebody say, he humbled himself. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Let the church say amen. Mark 10 and 45 says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom for many. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 says, for he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What stood out to me in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 is that God made him so he could make us. Catch it now. He made him so he could make us. Without him being made, we couldn't be made. See, we were already sin, so we didn't need no help with that. So what he did was made Jesus what we were so that we could be made what Jesus is. How many of you would like to become sin so that somebody else could become righteous? We preach the glamour of the cross, but it's ugly. We get to the hero so quick. We don't get to he hurt. I could not imagine my father turning his back on me in my weakest moment. And I have to say, Father, forgive me. Father, why hast thou forsaken me? We have a pain in our knee. And we want to ask God why he forsook us. He's on the cross. Can I get a? Yes. I know it might be hard to do, but Elder Smith will say, put a praise. Right there. Yeah, because we hadn't been forsaken. He took that so we wouldn't have to be. Number two, just five things. Their lives were given with the hopes of prolonging another life. Yeah. Their lives were given with the hopes of prolonging another life. But Christ's life not only prolongs a life, it improves a life. See, when a person gives their life for another person, they're hoping that the person that they gave their life for will live longer. But there's no guarantee. You have people all the time who donate their organs and don't make it. And the person they donated the organ to may not make it either. But they do it with the hopes that they can prolong the life of another. But Jesus not only accomplishes the prolonging of life, but he makes that longer life better. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. But Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He makes our lives better. Because for us, we should be more focused on quality of life than quantity of life. A lot of people are catching hell for a long time. A lot of people are depressed for a long time, sick for a long time, worried for a long time, but Jesus came so that your long time might be a good time. Abundant life. Life until it overflows. Life running over. No reason for the people of God not to have joy. Amen. We should be some of the happiest people on earth. Amen. What's that place they say is the happiest place on earth? They ought to be coming to church trying to figure out what we got. Disneyland ought to be visiting local churches in Orlando saying, how y'all do that? For free. Ain't that something? You got to spend half your savings to be happy. You got to get on a 6-month payment plan in order to go down to Disney and pay them to make you happy. When you can stay at home with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and be happy. Somebody saying a glass of milk, but if all you got is some water, and if you're out of jelly, make a choke sandwich. and give the Lord thanks. See, joy will do that to you. This joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. Elder Darren taking it to the second verse. Go ahead, Aaron. This joy that I have, world didn't give to me. World didn't give it. World can't take it away. Y'all know y'all grew up singing that. Why don't we sing it anymore? Man, you've been loved like you. For all y'all waiting on love, you've been loved so good. No other love in the world compares to the love that you've already been shown.
Amen.
You're talking about Valentine's Day. Elder Smith, Elder Johnson, you said it well on Facebook the other day. Every day is Valentine's Day. Every day you wake up, that's love day. God loved you. Come on.
Amen.
We're almost done. Number three, their lives were given to save a life that would, despite their sacrifice, someday come to an end anyway. The person who gave their life so somebody wouldn't die. But they gave it, and the person didn't die right then. But they're going to die anyway.
Amen.
So somebody died to keep somebody from dying. Who's going to die? All you did was just push the death date back a little bit. So now two people dead. Help us, God. But Christ's life not only saved life, it gives life and continues to do so over 2,000 years later.
Amen.
No other man has ever been able to say, because I died 2,000 years later, people are still coming to life. Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Even now he's still saving lives. But deeper than that, he's saving souls.
Yes. Yes.
2,000 years later, this is the most grand thing. This is the most grand story ever written by man. You can never read anything that leaks and overflows with love like this story does. Number four, the giving of their lives in many cases was unplanned, which means they didn't plan to die. That it was not one of those things where they woke up 20 years beforehand and said, I'm going to die for this person. Many times it was a need that arose, and it was an immediacy attached to it, to where they would die for somebody else. Even our men and women who go to war, I thank you, I salute you, but many of them want to come back home. So many have lost their lives for their country, but all of them want to come back home to their family. Somebody say amen. But Christ's sacrifice was preordained, predetermined, and premeditated. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and his peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Isaiah says, says that there is a baby that is going to be born, and that baby is going to give us peace. That baby is going to save us. That baby is going to redeem us. Matthew 1 and 21 says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And then John 10, 17 through 18 says, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." You know what? Jesus planned on dying for the one he loved. He planned on dying for the one he loved. No one else has ever been born to die in that way. There's no comparison between the way people die for people who they love and his death for the one he loved. What amazes me is that being able to look through the tunnels of time, Cherie, he saw what the world was going to become, and he didn't call it off. Wouldn't some of us have called it off? They're not going to appreciate it. They're not going to capture the full value of it. They're not going to really be able to receive my love. They're going to doubt me more than they believe me. They're going to wonder about me more than they trust me. And he didn't call it off. They're going to be mean to each other. They're not going to speak to one another, even in the same house. You expect me to die for that? Can we have a real conversation? What if it was that way? Let's capture this thought for a minute. He loved you so much he came to die so that you could live. That's the greatest love of all. There is no greater love than that of a man who would lay down his life for his friends. But there's a fifth difference. Their lives ended in death. When they died, it was over. A preacher stood over them. It was some guys who worked for the grave services with some shovels in the dirt. Come on. And the funeral guy was standing there with a rose in his hand. Y'all seen funerals before, haven't you? And he had the little rose and he was waiting on the preacher. And during the preacher said, "Ashes to ashes." And he threw the rose on the thing. And then they had the shovel, "Dust to dust." And they threw the dirt on the. And then they prayed and they lowered him into the ground. And that was the end of the story. But Jesus. It didn't end that way for him. He rose from the dead, bringing us with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He rose from the dead and brought us with him. Yes. Now, if you saved, you can celebrate this. Yes. But if you're not saved yet, you can't celebrate this. Romans 5:10. Y'all got it ready? Yes. Here it is. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, it is much more certain now that we are reconciled that we shall be saved, daily delivered from sin's dominion through his resurrection life. Every day that we live after salvation is a better day than the day before. Every day we are being redeemed from the curse of the law. Every day, sin's effects are being ripped away from our spirit man. Every day, the enemy's grip is getting looser and looser. And God's grip is getting tighter and tighter for those who are saved. Sin means death. And if sin still has a grip on you, you are dead. The Bible says that we were dead in our sins and our trespasses. You may be here physically, but spiritually, you are dead. You need resuscitation. You need what only Jesus can give you. A man can't give it to you. A woman can't give it to you. Money can't give it to you. Only Jesus can love you out of what you're in. And those saved people say amen.
Amen.
See, this is the benefit of what Jesus did on the cross. Not just the fact that we're not going to hell anymore, but we're coming out of hell on earth. No, you don't get it. You don't understand. You don't understand. See, sin has so many effects, like sickness, like depression. Come on here. Like being broke, like having marital problems, like having problems with your kid. Sin has so many effects, but every day because he got up, I'm getting up. Every day because he got up, you're getting up. Somebody shout yes. Touch your neighbor, say, I'm rising, I'm rising. I'm stepping up. I don't know about you, but I don't just want to go to heaven. I want to live the life he promised me. A life free from the effects of sin. Coming to God, then falling away. Coming to God, then falling away. Coming to God, then falling away. You want to be free from that? Let Jesus love you. You're tired of living a dual life? You're tired of having one life at home, one life at church? Let Jesus love you. You're tired of worrying yourself to sleep every night? You're tired of being angry with a very poisoned spirit? Let Jesus love it out of you. Come on, I wish I had a witness here. You tired of letting your circumstances dictate to you how you're going to live your life, how much joy you're going to have, how much peace you're going to have, how you're going to walk, how you're going to treat your neighbor, how you're going to treat your friends. Let Jesus love you right out of that thing, because his death, his burial, and his resurrection, it brought you life. Not the kind of life that a man can give by dying for you. A man could never secure your eternity. He could never give you issuance into heaven. He could never heal your body with his blood. He could never purge you from your sins with his blood. Oh, but the blood of the Lamb. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious. It's that flow that washed me white as snow. Hey, nobody, I feel good. No love like that. No love like that. Nobody else can do for you what Jesus did for you. If you don't ever get a Valentine's Day card, you got Jesus. You got Jesus. You got Jesus. The reason that many of us, our lives as Christians, are not as powerful as they can be is because we don't have a real revelation of the love of God toward us. But when you know you're loved by your Father, you can walk with a kind of confidence. When your daddy says, you can do it, you can come out of this. The devil can't hold you no more. He can't bind you no more. You walk with a certain kind of confidence that even when the devil is whispering in your ears, this is going to take you out. You ain't going to ever get free from this. You know in your heart of hearts and in your mind, my Father said. I want you, as we close, to think about the thing that's trying to keep you bound. Think about it. Come on, think about it. Think about that thing in your life that's trying to keep you bound, that's trying to mess you up. And I want you to say it like you mean it. Jesus died to set me free from that. The next time the enemy introduces those thoughts into your mind, into your spirit, the one that loved you died for that. He died, shed his blood so I could be healed. He shed his blood so I could have peace. You know what the Bible said? The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of us all. I ain't a sinner no more. I'm righteous now. Somebody say, I ain't a sinner no more. Say, I'm righteous now. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Yeah, I messed up. I made a mistake, but I'm still righteous. A devil, I ain't gonna let you call me a sinner. You are a liar. And the truth is not in you. Yeah, I said that, but I'm not that. I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, what love. 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 Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes. For the Bible tells me so. Man, your life is supposed to be so different. You see people in the natural. You ever watch somebody in the natural who fell in love? They act different. When you see somebody who has somebody now who loves them, their whole attitude is different. They smile more. You say their name and they giggle. Does the Lord's name still make you smile? When you think about him, do you get joy?
Yes.
See, I'm in love. I know what that's like. Make you text people when you know they ain't going to get it. Make you text them for a later time, don't it? Love will have you texting and you know they're in the meeting. But you say, when they come out of the meeting, this is what I want them to see. Why y'all looking at me like that? Like y'all don't send them love texts in the middle of the day. Do you think about him and then just want to talk to him? I'm saying everything about us ought to be different because we're loved. And his love didn't end with the cross. It's ongoing. greatest love of all, man. That's the greatest love. And you know, Whitney said, the greatest love of all is happening to me. Yes. Hallelujah. No greater love than that kind of love. That a man would lay down his life for his friends. You are his friends. He laid down his life for you.